an outline in the bulletin this morning for those who'd like to follow along. The title is Directions for Spiritual Development, based upon the text that was read to us this morning. Another title might be just some key words to success in Christian living. Now, I don't know anyone who takes on the task wanting to fail. I mean, I never heard anybody say that. I'm going to try this because I don't think I can do it. We usually take on a task with the hopes or the expectations that we can complete it, or at least that we can accomplish something in this task. So the same thing when we talk about our spiritual development or living the Christian life, we take that life on believing that we can do it. You know, everybody, like business executives or clerks or teachers or athletes, want to be successful in what they do and whatever endeavor they've chosen. I think failure is kind of dreaded. And I've heard people say even when they fail, they might be interviewed and they'll say, well, what do you think happened? They'll say, well, I don't know what happened, but I'm going to take a lot of positives out of this experience. Well, I've heard other people say, well, you know, I learned from that. And that's what we did. We learned. One of the best ways to learn success is to imitate the pros. I do that when I look at others who stand before a congregation, deliver a Bible class lesson, or preach a sermon. I look at and I listen, and I think, oh, that what they just did was tremendous. It made an impact on the listeners, and I want to copy some of those things they did. It may be even the way they stand or the way they dress, their voice inflection. You know, maybe even, you know, just what the gestures. You know, I want to get as close as possible to what I think made them successful in their delivering of God's message. We copy the pros. When something works, now how do you do that? I want to do that too. Well, that's what's in our lesson this morning. We look at Paul. What did you do? How did you stay so faithful and on track with all the hardships and the persecutions that came your way? All the discouragement. Look all the beatings and things. How did you stay the course? Well, in the text today, haven't already obtained, you would say to me, Brian, and to us, haven't obtained, not already perfect. No, that's right. Brethren, he says, I haven't counted myself to have apprehended. No. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, that's us, brethren, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Think, Paul saying, I want you to think like I do. And if in anything be otherwise minded, God will reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Now, whatever you're doing for success, you keep doing that. And let's be of the same mind. So I've listed five things in the text, and you can see them in the notes. Number one was, I called it dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. You think, oh, no, you want to do that, be dissatisfied. Well, in a sense. In verse 12, he said, I haven't obtained and I haven't been perfect yet. Not perfect. And if I was looking at the Apostle Paul, I'm thinking, Paul, you're there. How can you say that? Paul, you're head and shoulders above the rest of us. Why don't, in fact, I would almost say, Paul, why don't you sit down and rest a while? Apostle Paul in his statement here. It's as if you hear a Christian saying, you know, Brian, I don't need any more Bible classes. Oh, my. Brian, I don't need to attend any more fellowship. I'm satisfied with my spiritual development. Brian, we don't need a gospel meeting. I don't need to attend a workshop or the seminar. Brian, I don't need any more self-improvement, really. Really? And you're telling me that? They fail to realize that dissatisfaction is an essential tool in building successful living. And God gives us a warning about that false estimate of your spiritual condition. That I'm all right attitude in my spiritual development. I'm satisfied. Oh, Paul, if Paul could talk to you, you wouldn't be alive to see tomorrow. I don't know. But when Jesus said this to the church in Sardis, he says, you have a name or a reputation that you're alive. Oh, you look good to others. You may even be telling others how good you're doing in your accomplishments. And then the next phrase is, but you're dead. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. But I feel so good. No, you're dead. Self-satisfied? Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Years ago, when I was in outside sales, one month before you, Ron, before I worked for Ron back there, Custom Coffee Plant, I was in selling bookkeeping forms for a company called McBee Systems. Mark Piercy was the sales manager, very first sales manager when I started out in sales. Nicest guy, like Mark Piercy. At times he would hold staff meetings, and sometimes there would be some poor performers in our sales group, and Mark would call in those poor performers, and I would think, boy, he's going to give them a licking. But no, he wouldn't do that. The poor performers would come in, and he would all review their techniques. He says, well, show me what you do in your presentation, and Mark would set some goals for them. He'd go over their prospect list. He would give them encouragement and offer some help and even give them an attaboy, some sympathy. And I'm, what are you doing? Then he'd call in the sales leader. Maybe 1 week I was that guy. Not every week. He'd call him in. Call the sales leader in. And you know what Mark was saying? Why didn't you sell more? Don't sit on your laurels. You made quota by Wednesday and now you're slagging off for 2 days. Don't be satisfied, Brian. He would rake the sales leader over the coal. I think, Mark, I'm the leader this week. I thought you might be calling me in for praise. You know, it might be one day I'm in the office at 2 o'clock and I'm writing up orders. So I thought, that's a good thing. I'm writing up orders, Mark. And he said, Brian, get out of here. You still have 2 more hours of selling time. He would not let you get by or be satisfied with success. And that's in the world. Paul is saying that to us. You don't need a Bible class. You don't need to attend more often the friendships and the fellowship. You don't need to be around brethren more often. You're satisfied with your present success. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, I haven't attained. I haven't apprehended. Dissatisfaction, number one, leads to success spiritually. Number two is direction. He says in verse 13, this one thing I do. Paul's life is dominated by singleness of purpose. Now put in your notes, he's not sidetracked. He's not half-hearted in his effort. He doesn't allow himself to be distracted from the main objective. And I saw this next phrase I put in your notes. obstacle to what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. You take your eyes off the goal of heaven itself, spirituality, and you start looking around. You just got distracted. Take your eyes off the goal. Doesn't matter how gifted one may be, if he doesn't know where he's going, he's going to be satisfied with second best. And I've known people to quit their jobs and move great distances merely because they wanted to be and have a job where they felt like they made a difference and contributed to society. Even in the life of this congregation, when we have a service to render or a work to accomplish, it just seems like we as brethren are happier. When we have a ministry to perform or we're involved in the lives of one another, boy, it's almost like, well, I can't wait to get to the building to see and to share and to pray and to rejoice. It's almost like the song that said, I'm glad when they said it was time to go to the house of the Lord. I'm glad. And somebody else says, oh, my, look at the time. We got to go to the building again. Oh, look out. Look out. That's a warning sign. It's like when you have a physical illness, you say, uh-oh, something's wrong. Well, if you're not happy to come to the building, something's wrong, brother. That's a warning. It's like when your truck's backing up, beep, 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 beep. Something should go off in your head when you don't want to come and worship God and be with brethren. There's something go beep, 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 beep. It's a warning. Direction. Direction. You want to be successful in spiritual development. All these other lesser goals contribute to that one main objective of getting you and me to heaven. Martha, you put that in your notes. Jesus said to Martha, here you have a nice, good friendship and fellowship during the home, getting together, that's a good thing. But Jesus said, now it's time for Bible study, and Martha's over there fixing some stuff in the kitchen, which is nothing wrong or wretched, criminal with that. But Jesus says, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but all the one thing is needful right now. Right now, you need to come over here, Martha. Nehemiah is doing a great work in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And Sanballat and the others, they come to discourage him from the building. Nehemiah has the right attitude. He says in Nehemiah 6, verse 3, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Oh, but we just want to talk a little while. Not me. I'm focused on the task at hand. Luke 17, verse 32. I didn't put that in your notes, but remember Lot's wife? The idea was don't look back. Oh, Lot's wife. Oh, let me just take a peek. Just a casual glance. Oh, she turns into a pillar of salt. Direction. I remember a couple kids riding in the back seat of their car to school, little elementary school kids. They were telling the story to their Bible class teacher. Mom was taking us to school after they heard the story of Lot's wife looking back and turning into a pillar of salt. The boys, my mom looked back once when she was taking us to school and turned into a telephone pole. Direction. You know, in my classroom, I'd say to a student when I was teaching, after I'd worked some outside sales, I got a teaching credential. And I had special ed students, but I'd remind always it's a Johnny, but I'd say, little Johnny, you need to either walk where you're looking, or look where you're walking. So many of my kids, they would walk like this. You're going that way, they're looking everywhere else. Either walk where you're looking or look where you want. Direction. Number three is desertion. Forgetting the things which are behind. Obviously, we remember things of the past. But we remember the things of the past so we don't repeat the mistakes. That's a blessing in just looking back. But when we think about the forgetting in the text, Paul is saying you don't want to be influenced or affected in a negative way by those things of the past, especially the mistakes. I put two dangers in living in the past. Number one, we tend to remember it to distraction. So Paul says, you know what, brethren? If I'm to go forward, I shouldn't dwell on the past. That will distract me in my upward direction by looking back. And Paul had a lot to forget. Remember one time before the council, he said, you know, I lived in all good conscience till this day, that day of his conversion. I thought I was doing right. He had some things to look back on in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Paul said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. When Paul looks back on his past, he's thinking, I'm the worst. But I can't dwell on that. Not to the point of distraction in the direction I'm going now. Looking back is going to hamper this progress. It's going to have too many regrets. Oh, look what I did. Look what I said. No. But sometimes we can remember the past to distraction. Second, you tend to live off previous success. And then you lose that sense of dissatisfaction. Oh. Yesterday's good accomplishments shouldn't take you away from today's work. There's something to do today. I did a lot yesterday. No, there's something to do today. Imagine a runner looking back while he's racing, especially a sprinter. You don't run as fast when you're looking back. You're distracted. Can't do that. When I'm driving, I shouldn't even say that. But I'm driving and I want to. I know the road's distant. They got the lines and the bumps and all those good things to keep you going. That way they got the barriers. I just want to look. You write this down, brother. You're going to walk in the direction you're looking. Do you know that? You will walk in the direction you're looking. That's the way I was driving. I'm looking over there, when I'm here to the left. You try walking in a straight line, looking over there. Or over there. You will walk in the direction you are looking. And if you're not setting your sight on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, you're walking in a wrong direction. And if you don't put forth some effort, some gusto, your spiritual development falters. Next one is determination. That's where we're going with this. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal. So I put the definition of press in your notes. Just you can't misunderstand this. Because some people just want to give it that half-hearted effort that Paul doesn't give. That dissatisfaction. No. Paul says, I press. That means you intense endeavor. And the idea comes from a hunter pursuing an animal. It means that you're going to exert. You're going to push. You're going to gut it out. You're going to give whatever it takes to make that successful. Whatever it takes. You have to get up earlier or stay up later. Sacrifice something over here. Change your schedule. I don't know what it is in your life. But you make the effort to make your spiritual development successful. Do you know that when you join... Got a little side again. I thought in a minute. If you join any organization, it could be an athletic club or a team or like a Kiwanis service organization. You join any organization, you assume a responsibility to make it successful, otherwise you contribute to its failure. When you join, you assumed an obligation or responsibility to make it successful.
Otherwise, you are contributing to his death. Determination. I press toward the goal. Last one, number five, is discipline. By that, verse 16, by that same rule, let us walk. What rule? Think of it several ways. One, the rule of the four above items. That rule of dissatisfaction, direction, desertion, and determination. Or the rule of God's book would be included in that. The precepts of God. Law and promise. Regulations, code, the standard that is set up. Discipline. We have a rule to walk by. And that rule was given to help us be successful in our spiritual development. So don't think of the requirement as something of drudgery. But I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because that contributes to the of your spiritual development. So let's strive to be successful in Christian living by following Paul's example. Just put someone, I've heard this phrase before, somebody said the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. Paul, at the end, he said, I fought a good fight. Yes, that's right. Ready to be offered, you know, the time of my departure is at hand, Paul said. But I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I hope that we can say that too. I've finished. I've kept the faith. You're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church. I mean, you're not a Christian. We extend an invitation at the close of each lesson. An invitation for you to become a Christian, to obey the message. And there's several steps, or a formula, if you will, a recipe. There's some necessary ingredients. Number one, you'll need to hear the good news. That God, John 3:16, that God so loved the world. You need to hear that message. And then second, you need to believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 44, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. If you come to God, you must believe that He is. And that is a reward of them that diligently seek after Him. Number three, you'll need to repent because Jesus said it. In John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And then number four, the other next step or the ingredient or recipe in the recipe is that you'll need to confess your faith, your belief that Jesus is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian stopped Philip's servant and says, here's water, anything stopping me from being baptized is what you believe you make. And he said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the confession you make. And then we'll stop the chariot. When you do those four things, we'll stop. You can be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. That's the invitation we extend every time we meet. The close of every lesson. Whosoever will may come. The gospel is for all. So let's stand together. Sing the song the dead is selected.